Good morning. It is good to be together. As I was working on my lesson this week, I was going through and studying, and I said to myself, you know, it'd be really good if before we began the sermon, if they led Faith of Our Fathers. And no doubt, I did not tell Billy that, and I assume that's what you were thinking. I did not tell Billy that. He texted me, and he said, what's your text? And so he chose Faith of Our Fathers. And I think that's a wonderful song. It goes with what we're going to talk about today. Before we begin, I do want to say a special thank you to so many that are here. I look around and I see a lot of friends, and there's a lot of people that I care deeply about. I look especially and I see an Addie and a Wyatt, and I'm so thankful that they're here among so many others. As we come together today, usually on Father's Day, I glance over it and I try and make an appeal and say, hey, thank you, fathers. Happy Father's Day. We're very excited and thankful for you. You know, there are two special fathers in my life, one that raised me and one that took me in. And I'm very thankful for both of them. But as I look back through life, you know, as I get a little older, there's two special people in my life that make Father's Day that much more important. And so no doubt this morning I had two wonderful people run out and give me some special gifts this morning. Of one I am wearing right here. If you didn't notice, I am first place on Father's Day. I want you all to know how much I appreciate you. I am thankful that we get to be together. As I think about Father's Day, a wise man once told me, and he's only about four, he said, you know, we're all children because God is our Father. Today, we are going to take some time to look at being thankful for our fathers. You know, yesterday I had the opportunity to be involved with a wedding in Jackson, Mississippi. Ashley and Zach were married and we're so excited for them. But at the same time, Danny and Trish Moss were celebrating, remarrying, renewing vows for their 50th anniversary. It's a special time of year. A lot of great things are going on. You know, we're fixing to have a large group go down to church camp. I know we've got a group that's down at the Revival of Over America in Alabama. Mike's actually down there speaking this week. But as we begin with all the great things going on, I want to take a little time out today to think about being thankful for our fathers. Knowing that as we look at this thankfulness for our fathers, we find fathers in all different parts of life. I look around and I see Richie, and I'm pretty sure this is his first Father's Day. Welcome to the crowd. There might be somebody else that's in here that it's your first Father's Day. Congratulations. I also see some that have been fathers for now the 50th Father's Day, or maybe even more. And for that, I also say congratulations. As we look at thankfulness for our fathers, understand that within our fathers, even if there is no longer our father, earthly father here with us, we can still be thankful for what they did. You might not have been able to enjoy that relationship growing up as some missed out on, but still it relates to our thankfulness for our Father in heaven. As we begin today, we had DJ read from Proverbs chapter 23. We look at this child rearing, this raising that takes place, the job of a father. And as I think about a father, you know, one of the greatest things that a father has is that responsibility. I think about Ephesians chapter 5, you look at verse 22 and 23, where we see the husband being the head of the wife. You get down to verse 23, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, we see a duty for the father. Within that is going to come commands that the father must give. We're going to begin today by looking at being thankful for our Father's commands. If you would, we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs this morning. Proverbs, being full of wisdom, has much to say about fathers, about the responsibility of fathers, about the blessing for fathers, about the life of being a father. If you want to start, we'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Thankful for our father's commands. Now, as I say that, sure, you get that command, and something about the word command rings out as, man, I hated having all those rules. You know, I remember, you know, when Dad said, and it's like, I better jump because otherwise I'll be in trouble. Part of having commands is, although in the moment a lot of times they aren't appreciated, as we mature, we grow an appreciation. Especially as you become a father yourself and maybe you give some of those same commands. Don't touch that hot stove. Don't run across the street. Be careful when you do this. Or there's a warning for when you do that. You think about all the warnings or the commands of a father, and we recognize later on in life why we were told that. You know, I remember being told when I was a young boy, when you ride your bike, make sure you wear your shoes. Now, there's a lot of times I didn't. However, it was just this last week, Charlie was out riding on the scooter, and you know me, I never told her to wear shoes, so barefoot Charlie had a pretty good scrape on her foot. You know, if I had listened to some of those commands that I had been taught and relayed them to Charlie, maybe she wouldn't have had those same pains. But I said, let the pain teach her. Proverbs chapter 22, there's some commands that a father gets or a father gives. In verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, there's some training that must take place. There are some rules that must be given, guidelines to point them in a direction, to guide them so that they can be blessed in life. Ultimately, we mention Ephesians chapter 5, the husband, the father, is going to stand before God for those directions that are given, for the intent that is shared. You go forward and look at what DJ read in Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, he said, listen to your fathers who begot you. There's a special care there. You know, within that relationship from the beginning, you remember, if you're a father, no doubt you remember the day that your child came into this world and you said, wow. God gives them to us in this perfect form, and our goal is to encourage them to strive for perfection. You know, you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that perfection, that perfect man that is exactly what God wants them to be, is the aim that we try and send them in. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, he said, listen to your fathers who begot you, and do not despise your mothers when she is old. The idea is this parent gives direction to life. The commands might not be appreciated in the moment, but I guarantee there's a lot of times now you look back as you've grown up and you say, you know what? Mom and Dad told me that because they cared about me. They were trying to protect me. I relay that to God. You think about God the Father and all the direction that we're given through God's Word. And I've heard many people in the world be like, you know, I'd love to be a Christian, but God prevents so much fun. Or God doesn't allow me to do a lot of the things that I want to do. And then you look at those things and you say, there is a point behind that. The different rules that God gives, the different direction that He points us in, oftentimes prevents much heartache that comes in the future. You know, I think about Proverbs as it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever there is deceived thereby is not wise. The point being, look, there's consequences that come from it. And no doubt, I feel very confident that each one of you can look around in life and see people that were affected negatively by it. God's care and commands are evidenced to us. We look through His words and He gives guidelines, just as a father gives guidelines to his son or his daughter to bring them up in the way that is right. God's care for David as a father included the need for chastening. You know, there's consequences that come when you break the rules. No doubt if I had told Charlie not to ride her bike without the shoes on, one of those consequences would have been that big old scraped foot. I didn't have to spank her at all because she was in a world of hurt and she just wanted her daddy to help. Now, that's only because mom wasn't home. But we got her some Band-Aids. She got wrapped up, and even this morning it started bleeding when she put it in her shoe. So we had to Band-Aid it again. There are directions that are given, and there are consequences that come. Sometimes it could be that that consequence would be a spanking, or a timeout, or a strong word, or a harsh talking to. But within this consequence, you see the consequence that comes along with it. David, in 2 Samuel, is recalled as having consequences that would come from the father. 2 Samuel chapter 7, no doubt that special relationship that David shared, man after God's own heart. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, you can drop down to verse 14. God says, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the blows of the sons of men." But notice verse 15, "But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you." No doubt, as you think about this special relationship that David has with the Father, understand that you too are sons of the Father. There's an adoption that takes place for those that give their life to Christ. We are adopted as sons. And understanding there is chastening that can come along with it. As you go forward to the New Testament, as children, we endure hardship. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that hardship that comes. You look at the life of a Christian and the difficulties that we might endure. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Notice what he says in verse 7. He said, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" Understanding the father's responsibility. What son is there that the father does not chasten? Now, this is a quotation from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. We're not going to flip over there, but verse 5 and 6 are found exactly in Proverbs chapter 3. But he recognizes the chastening of the father. It's the duty, it's the common sense understood reality of being a father. But this chastening that we endure, notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you drop down to verse 11, he says, "As you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." You think about the father who cares. He says, "How we exhorted and comforted and charged, pushed you out, sent you out. Every one of you, as a father does his own children, he encouraged them as they go forth." We've got to endure the hardships that come as children of God, knowing that although we live at a time of hardship, although we might have some difficulties that come, no doubt I think back to my life, and I recall a time where my dad was getting on to me, and I said, "You'll come back and tell me sorry later." Because I knew it wasn't necessarily justified in the instance, and he came back later and he said, "Sorry, but let me tell you this. There were a lot of times that my dad did not find out, or my dad did not come down on me probably as hard as he could have." So no doubt that was still definitely deserved. Endure hardship. Endure these problems, understanding that we are blessed beyond measure. You know, as I think about being thankful for the commands that are given, we've got a God in heaven that gives us commands, point number two, because He cares. We need to be thankful for our Father's care. Within that care, I think about Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 6, talking about the necessities of life. You go down to verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you." And he's talking about the necessities. But back in verse 28, as there's a worry that takes place, he says, there's no need to worry. He said, "Why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field." He said, "How they grow. They neither toil nor spin." And he says, "And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these." Goes on and he considers, God will take care of you. Your Father will take care of you. He's going to do what it takes to ensure a blessed life. Now, God was not promising in Matthew chapter 6 that you're going to have all the bountiful riches, for instance, of Solomon or King David that he enjoyed, but He is promising that you'll be cared for. So why do you worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat? Don't you understand that your Father will care for you? You look at the care of a father strives to help their children along the way. This has been in God's design from surely the beginning of time in Deuteronomy chapter 1. As you go back to the old law in verse 31, he says, "And in the wilderness," this is how God cared for His, "where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place." He says in verse 32, "Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God." You go back and you consider everything that took place in the wilderness. They said, "Oh, you brought us out here that we couldn't even have water. We're going to die of thirst. Man, we don't even have food." And yet, once again, God provides. And as they wander and they suffer for their iniquities, God carried them through. You know, I love that feeling of the young child in your arms that is helpless, and you know that if mom or dad does not care for them, they aren't going to make it. You see, the Father in heaven cared, and He carried them through. There's a point in your life that you can probably look back and remember a mother and a father that carried you through. You weren't up walking, you hadn't started crawling, but yet they cared for you. God the Father, where you find yourself today, as mature as you are, we find those moments where we must be carried through. You know, I think about God saying, "I will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape." We see God's care. A child must choose to heed the father's advice. What I mean is the father gives the commands, they give the instruction, they teach, and they spend their life trying to raise you to put God first, to live in a certain way that will make you enjoy blessings in life. And the question becomes, not did the father teach me, not did the father give me instruction, but rather, what will I do with it? I've been told. You know, I think about the gift of God. You go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gift is there. But if you don't partake, if you don't take advantage of the gift, what good does it do? If your father gives you instruction and you leave his advice as you get older, as the prodigal son did, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to find yourself with the pigs eating slop. And then the question becomes, what will you do then? We look at the advice or the care of the father, and the question becomes, what will we do with the advice that we receive? No doubt you look to some young people that listen to their parents' advice as they go through, and they aren't in as much trouble, and their life just seems to go really well, and you're like, man, why is that? Because they heeded wise counsel. And then you see some that choose just the opposite. They choose not to listen. They choose to go find out what they want to do their own way, and you see the problems that come. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20 says, listen to the counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Now remember what Jude said. We're all children because God is our Father. Receive the instruction that God gives you. Look at God's word, accept it, believe it, and live it. And in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, he says, and you will be wise. But just to the opposite point, choose not to, and you'll be a fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 at the beginning of the book. In Proverbs chapter 1, if you drop down to verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instructions of your father. Listen up. Let me tell you. He said, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Give thanks for this. Be thankful that one teaches you, that gives you instruction, that cares about you, that encourages you. And we see the blessings that come in it. No doubt as we get to the New Testament, we look at Ephesians chapter 6 and we have all the young people memorize it. Children, obey your parents. And Elijah knows it. In the Lord. For this is right. He was going to say it. He said, Dad, can I say it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? Because that's what brings about the instruction that will encourage you to have a blessed life. He goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. He says in verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That brings us into the next point. Life expectancy is tied to the obedience to those commands that are received. Okay? Why is it? Mom and Dad said, don't run out in the road without looking both ways because you'll get run over by a car. And when you get run over by a car and you don't live anymore, then you'll understand that there is a longer life for those that heed instruction. Dad used to say, don't play with gasoline. You would light it, sit back as far as you could. It was not that long ago that I burnt my beard off and you were wondering where it went. Life expectancy is tied to the obedience of the commands that are given. You know, you can go back to the law in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, but it's a quote of what we just read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 3, and the idea being you listen to that advice. I told you we'd be spending a lot of time in Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, as we look at the, I call them nuggets of wisdom. You know, there's so many pieces of wisdom as you go throughout Proverbs, and I'd really say it's a book of wisdom. But one such thing would be in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. He says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." You know, mom said, "Brush your teeth so your teeth don't rot out." She said, "Eat healthy so you don't get sick. You need to exercise. You've got to get up. You can't play those crazy computer games all day. It's unhealthy. Don't look at the TV screen too long or your eyes are going to go bad." Hold on a second. You look at all this advice and there is a purpose behind it. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, we'll continue. We'll start over in verse 10. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble." He says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her. Keep that instruction. For she is your life. You want to be blessed? Follow God's plan. Follow what we read and study about. Follow the wisdom that is given. All right, you want to live a long life? Follow the Father's care. You know what? I really thought we had more time, and we're going to finish just a little bit more, but real quick, let's talk about thankful for our Father's compassion. A father shows concern when it seems that no one else will. You've got that special relationship, and you think about the relationship in your own life. Psalm chapter 103, there is a compassion that is recognized within a father. He says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You talk about that compassionate being. You talk about that compassionate personality or attitude. God cares for you as a father cares for his child. The compassion that comes along being with a father. I think about the prodigal son. We're not going to turn over there, but in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, as the prodigal son had went out and he'd wasted his father's livelihood. He took his inheritance, he goes on his ways, and he lives a ungodly life. The father was watching, eagerly waiting and praying and hoping that the son would come home. It wasn't when the son knocked at the door that the father went to greet him, but the father was ready to receive his son. Understand that the Father in heaven wants to receive you. He wants you to come home. If you've strayed away from the truth, God wants you to come home. The father of the prodigal son didn't go out and chase and chase and chase. But when the son was ready to change, he came with his arms open. You look at the compassion of a father and the eagerness to welcome home. The Lord has been bountifully compassionate to us. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. He said, "The wages of sin is death." What is deserved is death. But God desires that we avoid it. That's why we see the gift at the end of the verse. In Psalm 145, if you drop down to verse 9, he says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." As you think about the Father's compassion, he was bountifully compassionate to me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God was bountifully compassionate to me. He gave his son for you. because he wanted you to be his son and his daughter. He wanted you to have hope so that heaven could be your home. He gave a gift that you have to choose to take advantage of. You know, in taking advantage of that gift, I think about what Jesus says in John chapter 8. In verse 32, he said, "And you shall know the truth." And listen, "and the truth shall make you free." Do you want to show thankfulness for your Father? Obey his commands. Do you understand that God gave you the direction so that you could have eternal life? Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free." The only way you know the truth is because you open your Bible and you read it. You understand that you've got to put your life in Christ. And the question becomes, how do I get there? How do I put my life into Christ? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 20, and verse 32, he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." You see, there is a belief process in this truth that sets you free. But there's a confession or a giving of our life to this process. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Part of that process of giving our life or confessing Him includes that of Luke 13, 3. "I tell you nay, but except you repent, there is a changing of the guard. I don't live for sin, but I live for Christ. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." You turn from the world and you turn to Christ. You give your life to Him and you enjoy, go back to the very beginning, you appreciate those commands that are given. Why? "Because I love my Father." Are you thankful for the Father's commands? Are you thankful for your Father's care? And finally, are you thankful for God's compassion? If you are, then no doubt when you listen to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, when he said, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you haven't, right now is the time. Please come as we stand and sing.